Worship team, I loved that this morning. And there are so many things about it. I loved it about it, but I just love loud music. Forgive me for saying. I just love loud music. I always have. It's why I have bad hearing today. Way too much loud Lynyrd Skynyrd driving down the highway. But Little Feet, you know, that just country, southern rock. I still love it. Years ago, my mother was visiting in the church, and we were meeting at the Myrna Loy Center at the time. And my little tiny wee Catholic mother wouldn't come into the auditorium during worship because it was too loud. And so she would be out in the lobby. So she was one of the lobby lizards. And she would meet people when they came in. You know, she'd meet visitors who would come in late, and she'd say, you know, it's just not always this loud. The fact is, it always was that loud. It's just that it bothered my mom, and it was kind of an embarrassment to her. So she felt like she needed to be a temporary ambassador every time she came to visit, just to explain to people that it's not always like this. But actually, it always was, and I love loud worship music and praise music. I get lost in it that way. I don't even think about the rest of you. I just find it easier to connect with God. So, well done. The music was wonderful and the worship was great, but mostly it was loud and I love that. So, bless you guys. I also was told by this young man that invited us to come to South Africa this last couple of months. He invited us to come back again for 2 or 3 months next year. And he said, but you are not welcome in South Africa ever again if you don't have hearing aids. Because he got so tired of repeating himself for 2 months every time that we had a conversation. So, you know, there are problems. I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 4. And if you have a Bible, you can read along. But if not, I'll just read it to you. Chapter 4, starting at verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us sitting here today, according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. Now we're going to skip to verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This scripture is one that has been a topic of conversation for about 25 years. Actually 30 years I've been around here and doing the work of the kingdom in the local church. It hasn't always been so, but it has been in this period of time or church history that we live in. And there's a lot of talk about the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. And And there seems that there have been seasons when God was restoring the work of the evangelists. And then he was restoring the work of the, I believe, even the shepherd or the pastor. And we've seen how he has been restoring, I believe, the work of the teacher for some time now and bringing, I think, some correction to that. We saw a real restoration of the prophetic in our life and our time of working within the local church. And we have been seeing for the last 20 years, I believe, a real restoration and a reworking of the apostolic. And it has become a really popular thing to talk about. And it has become, I believe, an urgent thing that we should be talking about as well. It is something we need to understand. One of the things that happened to Margaret and I while we were traveling through South Africa is that we actually began to see this scripture just a little bit differently. There's a different light shining on it. There still is the middle part, the part we all get excited about, the part that says that God has given gifts to the church, to the local church, for the building up of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and it's the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. And we should be excited about that. We should be thinking about that. We should actually be actively working to make sure that we have what we need in order to do the work of the ministry. But what we've noticed while we were gone is the first couple of verses. What we've got is this powerful God, the creator of all things and the one that holds it all together in his hands, the one who sent his son, the one who has redeemed our lives. This amazing God has given gifts to the church, and they're going to change the way that the world does things. But before that, he says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. And we go, okay, yeah, I can do that. I can do it. I know my calling, and I'm going to walk worthy. I'm going to kick some devil butt. He says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience and bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Do you hear that? What he's doing is he's actually talking to us. He's urging us to think and to live and to be this way. Not toward the earth, not toward people who will believe, or not toward the lost or the depraved or whatever it is that we might be putting our focus on. He's saying, this is what I'm saying. Now, I'm giving you these mighty, powerful gifts to work among you and within you, to equip you to do the work that I've called you to, which is no insignificant thing. And he's starting this out by saying, so therefore, I'm urging you, walk with humility and gentleness and patience and love toward one another. We talk about the calling of leaders, and we talk about the qualifications of leaders, and we sometimes have short lists, we sometimes have long lists, we sometimes take hours to explain those things. We take lifetime to try to build them into other people. But what Paul is saying, for all of that, here's what you really need. Would you be humble and gentle and patient and loving with one another? And would you do all that you can, eager, in fact, to maintain unity in a bond of peace? I don't know about you, but I would actually really enjoy being a part of a community of people that reflected that. And the amazing thing is, if we skip now, because this was sandwiched between those verses and verse 15. He says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, from which the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it what? Builds itself up. That's not the end of it. What does your Bible say? Build yourself up in love. Margaret and I have come to the realization, and at least for myself, I can't speak for her, but for myself, I am absolutely stunned that I have missed this my whole life. And I have actually understated this value and the reality of God's love. It's amazing. As I read the scriptures now, I see that love is actually what it's all about, and it's what it's always been all about. It's what makes the engine run. It's why we're doing what we're doing, and it's how we do what we're doing, and we don't even talk about it. So JR said, well, we would like you to talk about what you've seen and what you've heard. And I know one of the things that we kept hearing repeatedly from people from all over the world saying, when you guys go to South Africa, God's going to do some things in you and he's going to change you. And I'd like to say that it was abrupt, but change never hardly ever is. It's a change comes one slow effort at a time because it comes one response to God at a time. And I want to encourage you that for Margaret and I anyway, we're actually having some of our, I don't know if you'd call it theology, but you would certainly call it our practice, is going to change. And it is changing because we realize that for all of this, we talk about the power of the gospel and the working of his Holy Spirit and the effort of those who are sent in to work amongst us to build us up. And I've always loved talking about that, but I've hardly ever talked about love. Because I want to get it done for Jesus. And the scripture says that actually the people that are watching you, the ones that are not in Christ, the way they're going to know that you are disciples of Christ and the way that they will know that he is your Lord is how? By our love. For whom? For the one who's sitting next to you and the one sitting behind you and the one sitting in front of you and everybody else in this room and all of those others that are called by Christ, by the name of Jesus Christ. It should just change the way we think about one another and talk about one another and pray for one another and deal with one another. And in the end, it will change the makeup of our group. We could sit here and strategize for months about how to build the church. And we could actually do that. We could build a big, fat church. But if we were in love with one another. In John, in the book of John, chapters 15 and 17, what we see is that when we're in love with each other and we're unified, we actually will bear fruit. And the scripture says in verse 10 of chapter 17, it says, and your fruitfulness will glorify God. That's how you will glorify God, by being fruitful. And you will be fruitful by loving one another and abiding in me. That's the strategy, folks. Margaret and I, when we were last here in January before our trip, told you that for us, our greatest desire at that time was to be fully obedient to all that God asks of us. And now I've had to add to that. I don't just want to be fully obedient to all that he asks of me. I want to love with a great love. And scripture says that if I love him, I'll actually obey him. So love actually comes first. So I could get rid of the obedient part and just say, now my desire is to have a great love for you. Earlier last year, Steve Oliver, who is the leader of Regions Beyond, was here, and he said, God is going to restore old promises over this house. And one of those old promises was that this house would be an apostolic center. An apostolic center doesn't mean that we are all apostles. If you spend any time in Africa, you will meet lots of apostles. Just like in the 70s, you used to meet lots of evangelists. But We are people who are always kind of striving for some sort of recognition, not from other people, but really for ourselves. It's, what am I? Who am I? Where do I fit? What's my job? And sometimes we grab a hold of titles and that maybe help describe who we are, but I don't think it always helps. But being an apostolic center doesn't mean that we're a whole bunch of apostles. It means that we're a people who are identified with the mission and the message of Jesus Christ, and who actively, faithfully, and energetically engage in apostolic work. So your next question might be, what's apostolic work? Well, I'm just going to share a few things with you that we have observed in our lifetime, and particularly, I say, recently. I'm not going to get particularly scriptural with you because I don't have time for that. But if we are an apostolic work, we're sharing the gospel of hope. We're not talking about sharing the gospel of hope. We're not training people to talk about the gospel of hope. We're not praying about who we should share the gospel of hope with. We are sharing the gospel of hope. There's a big difference, you guys. We are laying a good foundation in our local churches, a good, strong foundation that holds. I remember when I first rose to power and became the leader of this church and took a vibrant church of 150 people down to 46. I remember some other leaders in the community who would pull me aside and shake their finger at me and say, "Do not mess up the foundation that was laid. It's a good foundation." And it was, it has been, and it still is. Because that is an apostolic work. Caring for the poor. I've been talking with you about that. And it also doesn't mean just caring for the poor, but it means caring for those among us who are in need. And I hope that you're still aware of that. I hope that you're not satisfying yourself by feeding somebody or giving $5 to somebody who's standing on the street corner. Those are all good things. But I hope that you're feeling the compulsion to help one another more than you have felt before. I hope that as the world looks at us from the outside, they see a group of people that take care of one another, not just the people that are related to them, but the people that they're really related to. An apostolic center can be, and it should be, a strong motherly, fatherly aspect to it. And I have to say, I believe this church exemplifies that. An apostolic is engaged in identifying, equipping, and releasing other Ephesians 4 gifts. That's an essential part of it. I'm going to share a little bit more about that in a minute. It's assuring there is a good teaching and doctrine in the local churches. It's really important. It's sending workers to encourage the efforts of the gospel worldwide. If we're not sending people worldwide, we're not engaged in apostolic work, period. Jesus said, "Go, therefore, because I have all authority in heaven and earth now, I'm sending you and I'm telling you to go." Go. Here, there, and everywhere. And if we're not going, then this thing doesn't make sense, you guys. And it's a very active spreading of resources to where they are needed. People, money, and encouragement. You guys, I'm here to tell you that there is not enough encouragement out there. I know you've heard that from me before. I see it more clearly now than I have ever seen it. If you and I just started this week with the idea that I'm going to encourage 3 people every day this week just to see how it feels. You guys, there's not enough out there. There's not enough in here. If you're not coming in here with the idea that you're encouraging at least half a dozen people before you leave, then you're missing the point. This is your chance. It's like this is just made up for us so that when we come in, we can practice encouraging. There's not enough out there. And an apostolic people are engaged in encouraging work. They're not thinking about themselves. They're not thinking about how they feel. They're not thinking about their response to whatever is going on around them. They're thinking about, why am I here and who is here that I can encourage? Who is here that I can lift up just a little bit more, a little bit closer to God? That has the ring of a primary purpose, being an apostolic center. As regions beyond, as there is a statement, they say, this is who we want to be when we grow up. An apostolic people reaching the ends of the earth with love, generosity, and hope. For Margaret and I, when we started this weird season that we've been in for 5 years, it started with laying hands on Janny and JR and the other leaders and saying, we're handing it over to you guys, the other elders, the old elders like me. We all laid hands on these guys, said, go get them, take care of it, get it done, do the work. And I'm proud of what's being done, and I'm actually immensely proud of what I see about to happen. And I can't explain that any more than to tell you what's about to happen I am extremely proud of. God is going to do some things in and among you and with you, and I'm proud of you for it. For Margaret and I, it was the beginning of what God called a divine intermission, which was in reality a divine disturbance. It was weird place for us to be, because we had been in ministry and serving the church steadily for over 20 years, and then all of a sudden we're back to business like most of you. And it's been a strange experience for us. What we heard in, you know, back in 2011, 2012, that we would hear from God and we would know when the intermission has come to an end. And we've heard from God and we know that that's true. Some of the things that we heard in South Africa, things that people spoke prophetically to us while we were there, is that in this season, this new season, that we've been assured will last at least as long as the first one did, that we will have a louder voice. If you can imagine me having a louder voice, that's scary, isn't it? That there was one person who prophesied, they said, here in Africa, God is doing something in you for the next season, and we believe he has. It's kind of like Clem would describe it, Clem Ferris. He'd say, sometimes prophetically, God will just drop a new software on your hard drive, and it's just working in the background, and you're not really aware of what it's doing or even how to turn it on or off. It's just there. God puts it in, and it's working in the background, and that's how I feel for Margaret and I. There's some things working in the background in our lives now that wasn't there before. It said that we would be involved in restoration and strengthening of the brothers and the sisters of the faith. And this one I particularly like and am thinking a lot about is saying that we would be ones who repair the breach. We will show people the big purposes of God. Well, let me go back for a minute. A breach in military terminology, it means that there's a break in our defenses. And so we will be people who will go from place to place to place, and we will be people who help restore breaches and repair breaches so that the enemy can't get in anymore. It said we will show people the big purposes of God. I like that. And we will impart courage. That was a strong word. It said that wherever you guys go, you with this hand or this hand, you'll just be laying hands on people and imparting courage to them. Margaret received yet again a confirming word from a prophetic woman in South Africa that she is called to speak prophetically to the church. And she began doing that even more so on this trip. And I'm looking forward to her just roaring with the prophetic word for the church in the days to come. And we're going to ask Margaret to speak here in a few minutes. We witness a significant and an energetic apostolic work in South Africa, and honestly, we met people involved in that all over the world. And I personally, at least, learned a little bit more about how I should be living my life here in North America. I haven't got a clear picture yet, but it's more clear now than it was before. And we recognize the significant need for the apostolic and the prophetic to be working together. Keith Hazel, who was a spiritual father to us, had a massive impact in this church. He actually left our family to join another one because he was a prophetic man who had never really worked closely with apostolic people, and he just couldn't end his life that way. He said, I just have to go and work. And it turns out that the people that he went to work with, many of them are people who now are part of Regions Beyond, which is fascinating, and Keith, I'm sure, is delighted with that. But what we've seen in South Africa on this trip is like a continuation, but like a real emphasizing of what we know that we need, which is we are a prophetic people, really, who are desperately in need of an apostolic impetus and motivation and urging and push. It's amazing to me what happens when an apostle stands in front of a group of people. Things start moving. People start moving. Resources start moving. Energy starts moving. Expectations start rising. And when an apostle stands in front of a group of people and speaks with authority, things happen in people's hearts, and they happen to people as a group. And all of a sudden, they're doing things that they had imagined maybe when they were younger that they could do. And all of a sudden, they find themselves engaged with the work of the kingdom at a different level. It'd be like the difference between the tiny little four-door Ford that I rented in Cape Town and the zippy little Volkswagen four-door that I rented in Johannesburg. One of them could barely crawl up a small hill. The Volkswagen had the Holy Spirit. And I swore I would never rent another small Ford car anywhere else in the earth. I want zip. I want the Holy Spirit. That's what happens when you see an apostolic person, an apostle, stand before a group of people. All of a sudden, their gearing is being changed, and their torque is being picked up a bit. And I want to work with torque. When I go into the left lane to pass, or over there into the right lane to pass, I want torque, and I want power. And that's what happens when you see the apostolic and the prophetic working together among the other gifts. And I intend to be a part of that. For Margaret and I, we know that changes are coming for us. And we've actually been assured, again, prophetically, that this year itself is going to still continue to see a lot of change for us. I don't know quite what that really means. We know that there is a new season that is opening up in front of us. And I was going to take the time, I'm not going to now, we'll save it for another time, but I was going to share with you prophetic words that we have heard in the last 2 months to the church worldwide. But I'll summarize it by saying that, what's the best way to say it? God is up to something. It's the best way I could say it. I'm going to let Margaret, if she wants to speak to that a little bit here in a few minutes. Could we get her a mic? Does she have a mic? Okay. God is up to something, you guys. There are things happening spiritually now that we haven't seen for a while. There's trouble. And there's promise. And they both are emphasized now. And we are, I believe we're finding ourselves in the struggle that we've always been told is there and at different times we've sensed. But I really believe we're coming into a time where light and darkness are definitely in conflict. And the scripture says that oftentimes things happen in the natural and then they happen in the supernatural. And what we're seeing in the natural, worldwide, everywhere you go, and everyone you talk to, it's either black or it's white. There is no middle ground. And I know that politically we often talk about finding the middle ground, which is probably a fine idea politically, Spiritually, it's stupid. And darkness and light don't coexist. And I believe what's happening spiritually is that we are seeing that there is a very distinct opposition now. There's no middle ground. We're losing middle ground. Years ago, I got a prophetic picture of somebody running down a fence line. They were going post to post to post, and I just choose to believe it wasn't me. But I saw the Holy Spirit running behind the person. Don't get weird on me, okay? This is just a picture I got. But the Holy Spirit had the pitchfork, not the devil this time. And he was running after that person with a pitchfork. In other words, trying to get this person to decide which side of the fence they were going to be on, right? And that's the sense that I got. And I had the sense that the days were coming in the church when God was going to send the Holy Spirit, not just to do a healing work and a counseling work and a comforting work, but to really bring conviction to the church again. And I believe it's happening. I believe, you guys, this opposition in the natural is very real, and it isn't changing. I don't believe it's changing in our lifetime. We are not going to see the great high mediator who is going to mediate all the nations to stop being black or white, this or that, right or left, whatever. And the middle ground is becoming less and less of a choice. And I believe that God is up to something, and I believe he has given the Holy Spirit a directive to come and bring conviction to the church. And to choose. Make a choice which side of the fence you want to be on, because the fence is going to disappear. Now, I see that as good as long as I'm just slightly ahead of the pitchfork, right? I was telling JR, I said, it used to be a day in the church, in our leadership, when bad things happened, we liked it. Even though we knew there would be sleepless nights. Because we knew when bad things were happening, it means that things that were hidden in the darkness now have come to light. And I do not like things hidden in the darkness. I never liked it as a child, and I don't like it now. I want to know what's in the darkness, because then I know what to deal with it. In a marriage, you can have something hidden in the dark, and you think everything's fine, but everything is not fine. And it isn't until the light shines on the darkness that you can actually begin to deal with the things that turn sour in that relationship. And I believe that's where we are, you guys. This is the season we're in globally. I believe it's a global thing that we're on the edge of. I'm not telling you it's this year or next year or whatever, but I just am telling you God is up to something. And I'm not saying this because I just sense it. It's because this is what we've been hearing now for a couple of years. And we're hearing it strongly in our spirits. And I think that this is the time some of you are self-employed. And April 15th comes every year. Makes you want to cuss, doesn't it? And when April 15th comes, you're sitting in anticipation, waiting for that packet to come from the accountant to tell you what the damage is. And then you have to figure out, do I have enough money to do this? That last week, it's too late to try to figure out whether you have enough money to do this, because you can't make enough money that week to cover the difference. I feel like in the spirit today during worship, I felt like that's where we are as a church. That something is about to happen, and the Holy Spirit is about to put a significant demand on the church. And I'm afraid there aren't enough leaders, you guys. And I'm beginning to feel afraid that it's just almost too late to get the leaders into the field in time. So I, apostolically, can I put a burden on you? We need leaders, you guys. We can't wait until tax day to try to make enough money to cover that tax bill. And there, I would honestly believe there's a time coming now. The time has come. We're on the edge of it, and there is a demand, and God's going to say, what have you been doing all these years? I'm sending my Holy Spirit. Are you ready? And it's a call to every single one of us today. And I was just crying during worship because there was a sense in me, it's like, Lord, is it too late? Are we going to have enough leaders? Are we going to have to just scramble and beg and borrow and steal in order to find enough leaders to get this done? Now, I realize God is in control, and we all take comfort in this. Not Brian. But you guys, the scriptures are full of admonition. The words of Christ himself were full of admonition. You had better be ready. Are we ready? Are we leaders? Are we stepping up to it? Are we nursing old wounds? Are we nursing old disappointments? Are we nursing old discouragements? Are we nursing old insecurities? Are we just continuing to fight that battle month to month to try to survive enough this month to pay all the bills? But if you're waiting until that day to see if you have enough money to pay all the bills, it's too late. Are you ready? Are you ready to stand up and be a leader? Are you ready to meet the qualifications of a leader? Hospitable, generous, kind, humble, loving, generous toward others, graceful, energetic for the gospel, boldly, willing to boldly declare the good news of Jesus Christ, ready to invest in other people, even at your own loss, willing to see other people go higher and further and brighter at your expense. I think you are. I think you are. I think you are ready. Some of you are in my age group, and there is like something close to revival among our age group that is happening worldwide. It's like we all just kind of took a breath and closed the garage door for a while, and we're tinkering with our Mustang behind the closed door. And God says, no, it's time to get the Mustang out. I've got a neighbor. I hate this guy. Every spring, he brings out his cool convertible 65 Mustang convertible. And I can always hear it. He goes, boop, 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 boop. I hate that guy. I want so badly to be his friend. I just think, you guys, I think it's time to open the garage door and take that baby out on the street and see what it can do. Yeah. Margaret, do you have anything you'd like to add to that? Come on. Come on. Speak prophetically.
Oh, thanks. So I don't have a lot to say. This is how most of our fights and conversations go at home, too, is he goes on and on and on and on. And I have very little to say or add to that because he can normally argue both sides of an argument and he can do both sides of a conversation.
You're supposed to be talking about God and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
In the future.
So I really don't have anything to add. Just, I think from my heart, it's just, again, really, again, we could go into a cheesy 80s song, but really it is about love, you guys, and love and unity. And when the church is loving one another and we're in our families, we're loving each other, we're loving our kids, our teenagers, our older, grandma and grandpas, and when we love and honor and cherish each other, we really are going to change the world. Politics can't stand up against that. It just doesn't matter. It really does transform lives. It transforms communities. It's the best plan of life. Mm-hmm. But it's also what God's called us to do. And so I don't know that we have much more than that, but I really do agree that I see God doing, and it's not just in the United States. We saw in South Africa, we had opportunity to visit with people from England and people from India, and what God is doing around the world is he is changing people's hearts. People our age who are done raising children and have maybe helped build the church, they're no longer just leaving and going off on vacation and spending everybody's inheritance, but they are coming back in and they're just saying, no, we have all the time in the world now. We have all the money. We're not concerned about that. We are giving our lives to the gospel and to serving the younger generations and the older generations. Mm-hmm. So we really did see that is a great revival God's doing around the world. So anyway, I don't know that. Do you have any more questions?
One thing we saw that really surprised us was there are, I know this sounds dumb to say now that I'm saying it, but there are a lot more poor people on this earth than there are rich people.
Yeah.
Or even middle class. And we saw really for the first time how the poor actually don't just need to be served. They really need to be activated.
That's right.
Because if the Holy Spirit has enough bodies to turn loose on the earth, numbers will win the game. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing to us to see the heart of the apostolic heart for the poor around the earth and the desire to activate them for the work of the gospel because there are so many of them to send.
And again, like the word says, we may have financial money, but the poor are rich in faith.
Yeah.
The poor have God's favor. Yeah. We, again, out of love, we need to be able to see people. We need to, in our communities, you don't have to go overseas, but in our communities, in our congregations, we can love one another. Mm-hmm. And it takes the Holy Spirit to have eyes to see, doesn't it? And ears to hear where we can really go and serve and love and give. So
does anyone have a question?
Yeah.
Mac
does.
You better be careful. That was my grandson. He has a question. When are you going to be done, Papa? We're going to go shooting bows. Okay. Anyone have a question? No? Okay, that's good. I didn't want to answer any of them. Oh, jeez. Joe? Yeah, it's really been fun to watch because, the apostolic guy seems to come in with this broad picture and is just kind of like looking for resources to make it. It'd be like a general looking for ways to get what is needed to different parts of the map, right? And the prophetic comes alongside and can help form strategy, but help identify who needs to be sent and identify people who are maybe just in the making and bringing them to another level through encouragement and comfort and strengthening of them. And so you watch the two of them together and the apostle is thinking, who can I send? And the prophetic, this is just an example, and the prophetic guy could be saying, well, actually, I think this one would be a good one. Because a lot of times the apostolic person will just send anyone willing, but the prophetic guy is maybe a little more like, well, let's narrow this down to people that are qualified and maybe, you know, could actually get the job done. That kind of thing. But it's that's just an example of how that works together. Kind of just getting the feel for it myself. Yeah. All right. Well, then we're going to pray for you guys. I'm going to pray a prayer. There was one more thing I wanted to say before Margaret leaves, is that we really have been tremendously encouraged by many of you who have helped us financially. We haven't really figured out how to do what we're called to do because we're not fully supported by church anymore. And so I'm still practicing law, and Margaret is still selling real estate. And we're continuing to do that. But in order to travel as much as I'm having to travel for kingdom things, it's just really been a burden. It's been hard to know how to do. And some of you have just really stepped up. And we want to say thank you because we know a lot of it was very sacrificial. And you may not even be seeing the fruit of that right now. But I just assure you we're being faithful with it, and we know that God's going to continue to lead us in that way. So thank you so much for those of you that have done that, because I know there's been some sacrificial giving that's taken place. So, all right, so would you stand? This is a prayer that has become just almost for me, and I think for Margaret as well, has become our go-to prayer. You could pray this over anyone in any situation, and it's so powerful. And I'd encourage you, even take time to meditate on this scripture out of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, we bow our knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant each of you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. All right.